Lunch with Pippa Hudson
on Cape Talk.
Join the conversation.
Now, as we came to air yesterday, we saw the breaking news headline on screen telling us that João Rodrigues had died. The former apartheid-era policeman who'd been charged with the murder of anti-apartheid activist Ahmed Timol in 1971. In June this year, you may recall, the Supreme Court of Appeal dismissed Rodrigues' bid for a permanent stay of prosecution in the case, clearing the way for that very much delayed trial to proceed and for the Timol family to finally receive answers that they have been looking for now for 50 years. Those answers have gone to the grave with Rodrigues. His lawyer told News 24 yesterday the client had died at home on Monday evening after battling a lung illness for some time. Obviously, it is going to be a huge blow to the Timol family. The question I want to probe today, though, is, was this the last hope of finding the truth and seeing justice done? It's a question I want to put to Ahmed Timol's nephew, Imtiaz Kaji, who, as you know from previous interviews, has spent years researching his late uncle's case and pressing for justice for the family. We spoke to him last year about his book, The Murder of Ahmed Timol, and we've had him on a couple of times since then for updates on the case. Imtiaz, we have to start by saying I'm so sorry, because I know this must be incredibly difficult for the family to have another door closed in their face like this. Good afternoon and welcome.
Good afternoon, Papa, and many thanks for hosting me.
Sure.
Look, I think you've summed it up correctly. And I had known very well that, you know, this was the strategy adopted by his legal counsel to play for time for as long as possible.
Yeah.
All in the hope of him not appearing in court, you know, for the criminal charges that he had faced. And despite preparing myself for it, it's still very, very difficult, because the reality is that him in a criminal trial, you know, would be forced to revisit his version of events, which are simply not plausible. And in that particular manner, my intention and the hope was that, you know, he will finally decide to speak the truth and give us the answers that we've been desperately looking for, Papa.
Imtiaz, I said his secrets go with him to the grave, but of course that's not entirely true. There were others who were witness to the torture of detainees at John Forster Square who are still alive. And in fact, another family's inquest is underway as we speak, looking into the death of Dr. Hussein Mia Hafaji, the dentist, which came a few years after your uncle's death. And that's very recent. We've been reading some absolutely grueling testimony from what the witnesses in that inquest have said about what they themselves endured and what they witnessed and overheard during their detention. Is it possible that the proceedings in that inquest might inadvertently provide a different avenue to find the truth for your family?
No, not really, Papa. I think what is a given is that political detainees were tortured. And this, we have a long history of this, unfortunately, in this country, emanating from the early 1960s. And the Western Cape activist Lux Martin Dooley being the first to have died in 1963. But what happened in my uncle's inquest was that the overwhelming and the damning forensic evidence presented by pathologists and by the trajectory expert put Rodriguez's entire version of events under the spotlight.
Yeah.
Because remember, he simply says that my uncle was free of injuries. And when the pathologist found about 27 anti-mortem wounds on his body prior to him falling, the trajectory expert demonstrated that if he had dived out of the window, he would have ended up on Commissioner Street. The only reason for his body lying 3 meters away from the building was because he was tipped over.
Yeah.
And this is what Judge Motlhape continuously reached out to Rodriguez to say, but how do you expect me to believe your version of events? So the issue of torture has been a given. It's not doubted. I mean, Professor Don Forster has provided empirical evidence to that particular effect. That was not the issue. The issue was hoping and praying that this man will have a change of heart to realize that, look, it is now over. His former colleagues have all passed on. We are all aging. And let's set the record straight. Let me cleanse myself before I leave this world and meet our Creator. And let me set the record straight to bring this matter to an end. And I personally continuously reached out, Pippa, to him and to his legal counsel, that all that he needs to do is speak the truth. And we can look and explore options of a plea bargain, because to see him going sentenced to jail, there's no benefit derived out of it. All he had to do was speak the truth. He refused to do so. And you're correct. The reality is that the true nature of events that unfolded in room 1026 at the notorious John Forster Square police station is taken with him. Mm. The other two security branch officers, Devil Elston and Seth Stans, according to Judge Mortley, had to be investigated for assault and for perjury. After I literally hounded the NPA for more than 30 months, post the 2017 inquest, they made a decision not to charge either one of them. And they're both in the 80s. So again, the call goes out to them to say, you know, take responsibility for your actions. And I think my interaction, Pippa, with many families across the country is that families want answers.
Yeah.
Their loved ones are never coming back. They want answers. They want to have a full picture of what transpired, precisely what is happening in the Dr. Hafiji case, in Peter Maritzburg, in the Dr. Neil Agut, Ernest Dipali matter.
Yeah.
The families just want answers. And when we reach out to perpetrators, apartheid era perpetrators, it's not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of reaching out to say, meet us halfway so we can have some form of reconciliation and in that particular way take the country forward.
I'm talking to Imtiaz Kaji, the nephew of the late Ahmed Timol. Just to recap for those who might have joined us late to the conversation, the former apartheid-era policeman who was standing trial for that murder died on Monday and has taken the truth about what happened in 1971 in John Forster Square with him to his grave. Imtiaz, you mentioned hounding the NPA for movement. You're not the only person or the only family who's been doing that. We had a conversation just a few months ago with Lucano Talata, who had filed legal papers asking, or rather trying to force the NPA to move ahead with the investigation into the death of the Craddock Four. No progress there as far as we know so far. And like others and like your own family, they are facing a ticking clock, a window of opportunity to hear from the horse's mouth what happened. That window closes a little bit more with every year that goes by. Imtiaz, I mean, how, as we talk today, how do you feel that this is the end of the road, that the truth has gone and all opportunities have now been exhausted for your particular case?
Most certainly, because, I mean, Rodriguez was the key to providing us the answers. And that is why I'm finalizing my latest book to talk about my experiences post the 2017 inquest as to what a journey it has been simply to take this matter, where it is now supposed to be heard at the Constitutional Court in Bloemfontein. But this is the plea from families all over. And this is a very, very negative sign that has been sent across to families, that one would have imagined after the 2017 inquest that there would be some level of impetus, you know, to take these matters forward. And this, once again, is a grim reminder that the NPA has failed. But again, Pippa, I will reach out to the NPA as well. You need to turn a new leaf. And families are prepared to work with you, but there has to be levels of integrity, of honesty, and sincerity, you know, to ensure that we don't end up in situations like this. And they need to play the role that they are empowered to do in terms of the legislation. And reach out to apartheid-era perpetrators and encourage them to say, but come forward. Yes, you did not apply for amnesty or you were denied amnesty at the TRC, but the families are still willing to talk to you, because these long, lengthy court criminal proceedings are not in the best interests of families to live and to endure and to relive the horrors of the past. It's not pleasant. But unfortunately, it has to happen. And apartheid-era perpetrators need to take responsibility to come forward and assist these families so we can move forward as a country, people.
Imtiaz, one last question. As you've said, you sound to me like you have accepted that your attempt to get the specific truth of your uncle's case died with Rodriguez on Monday night. But it sounds very much like to me that you are prepared to carry on fighting for the bigger picture on behalf of the other families who are also still waiting. Are you going to continue reaching out and pressuring the NPA to keep on moving forward with their cases?
Most certainly. There's absolutely no doubt about it. And again, to say we can work together. And I, you know, when the newly appointed NDPP Shirley Shamila Batoy was appointed, we engaged with her. And I conveyed this message to her, that there are two ways of dealing with these matters. The one is, come forward, work with us honestly as families, and we can work together and we can turn this, you know, for the benefit of the country, not for us to regress. And the second is, you continue with your office bearers that continue lying, distorting, deflecting, and denying families justice. And she opted for the second option, and that is why we are where we are today. So my appeal goes back to them at the NPA and the Ministry of Justice. Use this matter of Rodriguez as a reminder again that you have dismally failed, but we still have a window of opportunity to assist other families, and this window is closing very, very rapidly.
Imtiaz Kadri, thank you so much for joining us on what must be an incredibly difficult day, I know, for your family. Thank you. I'm really sad to be having this conversation without the outcome that I know that you were so desperate to get. But I salute you for the willingness and the energy to keep on fighting on behalf of the other families affected. Imtiaz's latest book is The Murder of Ahmed Timmel. It was published by Jacana Media a year or so ago and is still available in stores. It is a very gripping read and description of his research. I mean, he was a young boy when his uncle died. It's become a personal quest for him on behalf of his family and now on behalf of other families as well.